Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. Yeah. This ain't no video game, yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound, so point the arrow now. I built the pyramid and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Gravity.
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master. Take a class again, cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Rise with the sun. Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, December. Wow, let me rephrase that. January the 2nd. January the 2nd, new year. Wow. New year, new you. 2017. This is the year of the one. The year that we build the temple. Calling all temple builders, my brothers, my sisters. I want to welcome everybody to today's show. Again, as always, we've got another important topic scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste. Spend as much time with him, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a call out for the temple builders. We want to really focus on becoming one. You becoming one with yourself in 2017. This is the year of the one. That requires radical faith. So today, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about radical faith. This is a mountain-moving faith. This is a clarionic-keeping faith. This is a blueprint-mastering faith. This is a oneness-developing faith. This is the ability, my brothers and sisters, to call those things that are not as though they were. My brothers and my sisters, in order for you to activate the Christ consciousness that dwells within inside of you, it requires for you to do something that you have not done before. In order to go where you've never been, you have to do what you've never done. And that requires you to look the enemy in the eye, brothers and sisters. Yahushua calls us to have radical faith. There's a lot of different Yahushuas out there. You got to make sure you have the right one. And my brothers and my sisters, in this calling, this overrides three things that we want to focus on today. Three things, brothers and sisters, that you can't have in 2017. Three things that you have to reboot in order for you to make tough decisions. 2017 is going to be a year like no other. 2017, at least the 25 people that I'm working with in 2017, again, the program starts on January the 31st. We talked about the cost of the program. Again, so everybody's aware of that, just simply email me at masterteacher33.com. I've been sending out emails. If you need more additional information, that email again is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. We're taking 25 people to the mountaintop. We're going to do stuff in your life that's never been done. Because what we are removing is we are detaching any entity attachment. We're doing total cellular memory regeneration. We're going to go in and totally identify every limiting thought form, every limiting neurological network, anything that has any possibility or any hint of reservation, any type of concern, any type of doubt, any type of fear, because they mask themselves in different ways. And this requires you to be able to identify how pondering or analyzing the paralysis of analysis, these are all cloaks of the enemy. This is how the enemy hides himself. And so the ability to identify how the enemy hides himself and to remove that. But what does that really mean when I say radical faith? What am I simply saying when I say radical faith? See, my brothers, by believing in yourself and your abilities, by totally becoming in contact and having a sold-out relationship with Christ that lives in you. See, we have this treasure hidden in Christ. This ability to totally be filled and determined by the object of my faith and the person of whom I invest my faith. And this word faith, my brothers and sisters, is confidence and trust. So faith means that we finally have come to a place where there is no hindrance, because the greatest hindrance to your faith is those three words that I just mentioned. And so those are the three things that must be observed and removed. But it's not the focus on the way that we ponder things, the way that we analyze things, how we are concerned and how we think. Not what, but how we think, that we talked about on yesterday's show or the day before yesterday, and the concerns that we may have, although they may be valid. That's the key. Everything we're discussing is valid. But the enemy uses this validation of the things that are not as valid as your faith. Because, see, radical faith, my brothers and sisters, allows you, because it's the size of a mustard seed, and it takes what interests you. And this interest is in whose I am and who I am and what I am being and what I am doing. It is this interest in whose and who. It is this interest in being and doing. It is this interest when you are totally absorbed with your interest, when you are totally absorbed. See, something clicks. It just, you get to a point when it's different from every person. Every person gets to this point at a different pace and a different time, but everybody gets there. You get to a point where everything clicks. When I say clicks, I mean that faith means trust. This trust is in the act of being who you are being, your mental disposition, your mindset gets to a place where it allows you to override all of the pondering, all of the analyzation. It's a mental thing. You don't do anything. It's a mental disposition. This mental disposition go in. And this mental disposition allows you to override any type of energy, hyper disposition, or any type of an energy deficit disorder, or any type of a lack of empowerment due to a lack of clarity. See, radical faith, brothers and sisters, it is this radical faith that gives you a new identity. It gives you a new ethic. It gives you new values, underlining foundation that the temple is built upon. And so in 2017, this program of being a temple builder, being a blueprint or a template applicator, understanding how claironomics is the household management of the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. So it is going into the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and intellect, and freeing up. It is the ability to exercise freedom to trust. It is the freedom that comes with this radical relationship with yourself and with your purpose. It is this freedom to remove everything that, see, this word, let's break these words down, because when we talk about when somebody ponders something, it is this ability to overanalyze something, Because if you are pondering, the thing that you are pondering is a thing that you're going to be moving in the direction of. Because when you ponder something, you have a concern. And the concern may be valid because you want to make sure. But you see, something happens when you identify with the radical faith. So radical faith is simply the understanding of your worth and of your value. Where there is a lack of understanding, as we're going to, you know, break all of this down and we're rolling out and we've been doing some great shows leading up to this that's been talking about, again, peptide proteins, your pineal gland activation. We're going to talk about bioregulators. We're going to talk about this, how we deliberately fail in order to receive the love of people who tolerate instead of people who elevate. We're going to break down how this lack of applied knowledge allows one to remain handicapped, meaning that I can hand you a cap and I can say that you can only make $10 an hour because we are handicapped because we have a belief system that says that this mountain can't be removed. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's this love affair that we have with failing on purpose. See, we want to receive, even though it's not valid, the attention of the person that notices us when we fail. Because we've never experienced the elation that we get when we succeed. Some of us have failed and so many times at removing these limiting beliefs. See, without the removal of these limited beliefs, you have reservations. Now, a reservation means that I'm going to reserve taking action. Look at the word reservation. It's the word reserve and the word action. So when you say that you have a concern or that you have a reservation, or that you want to ponder, or that you want to consider, or that you want to think, it means, brothers and sisters, that I am going to disengage. I am having a little trouble or worry. I want to invest energy into looking at how things might not work. I want to solicit some anxiety. You see, what's interesting is that it's not the concern that's the issue. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. It's not that we're pondering. It's not that we're analyzing. It's not even that we are reserving our energy for a later time by being reservation. That's not the issue. That's not the concern. Remember, you have to go 7 layers deep to expose the enemy. But it is this inability to attach with the 7 benefits. See, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Ruthless men retain wealth. It is this inability to, again, exercise diligence, focus, discipline, and order. It is not that we don't exercise it. Is that we do exercises, but we don't understand the magnificence of it. Meaning, that how can you know what you don't know? So the key is to make sure that you understand that the benefits outweigh the risk. Because once you raise your vibratory rate, once you activate and you bring the full light, the full activation of what is considered the Christ consciousness or quantum consciousness, it allows you to go outside of this dimension to find solutions to the problem. So once we remove, but we can't remove until we identify. And the only way we can identify is through complete self-mastery, through complete radical faith. See, in order to find and identify those, how can we put them, cellular distractions, we've got to do something that requires major surgery. And we're going to talk about this when we talk about soul-level trauma. And we have to go in, my brothers and sisters, and do something that's very difficult to do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 10, Jesus says that if you ask your father for his fish, he will not send you a serpent. It's interesting that everything that we have is serpent-oriented. Everything that Yahushua had was fish or Piscean-oriented. We're entering in the new age of Aquarius, so it requires us to do something that we've never done. See, soul-level trauma. See, Clarinomics is the household management of the soul, but there is some traumatic event that has happened in the soul. And Yahushua has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have to be moving in the direction of what it talks about in the Gospel of Thomas and all of the ancient texts. See, who is within us? We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels inside of our soul. So the soul-level trauma we've got to identify with, because that's where these, again, ruling dispositions hang out. Now, these ruling dispositions are not mystical. See, we've got to demystify them. See, we are afraid of the dark. Because, see, what you can't see in the dark, again, you're afraid of. But let me make sure you understand. See, whatever's in the day is the same thing that's there in the dark. It's interesting because as a child, you could stay in your bedroom all day as long as the lights are on. But the moment that you turn the lights off, all of a sudden your imagination takes away. And you start to think, and you start to ponder, you start to wonder, you start to be concerned, and you start to analyze, and you start to have reservations about what's in the dark, even though you know nothing's in the dark because you just turned the light off. And when you turn the light on, you look around, and you see there's nothing there. But it's interesting that as soon as you turn off the light, as soon as you do not activate your full light, if thine eye be single, if thine eye be single, it is the singleness of mind, my brother. It is the singleness of mind, my sister, that allows you to take radical faith. But as long as you are reserving some part of your mind, the mind is not single. Thus, we are left with a decision. Shall we trust in Yahushua, and shall we trust in the Word, and shall we trust in whose we are, and should we trust in who we are, should we put all of our power and our understanding within us, within our ability to be self-mastery, to understand that Yahushua has given us, past tense, everything that we need for life and godliness, should I exercise self-worth and self-value, and should I charge what I'm really worth? Should I do what I'm called to do? Should I fall in love with what I really love doing? Or do I do this because of the fact that I don't have trust and faith and radical confidence that if I do this, I will be successful? And so the enemy keeps you with a certain amount of your energy reserved. And so since you're not fully engaged, the universe doesn't fully reply. Because to the degree that the pendulum swings to the left is the same degree that the pendulum swings to the right. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. See, whatever measure that you give, that same measure. So since you give with reserve, you receive with reserve. You see, my brother and sister, it's so important that because the scripture said that Yahushua has given us power to trample on snakes and scorpions. See, most people are afraid of snakes and scorpions. It's interesting that Yahushua says that. See, doubts. See, these doubts that a lot of people refer to as devils and demons. See, these are the snakes and scorpions. It's called fear, doubt, and unbelief. See, fear, doubt, and unbelief is the same as faith, hope, and love. They both are thoughts. They both are energy. One's the energy vampire, the other is the energy supplier. So you can either empower your energy or you can disempower your energy. See, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says it this way. Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that seems pretty clear to me. I don't know about you, but it says that he has given us the power, and it says that God has not given me a spirit in the book of Timothy. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. See, the enemy knows that your mind is not sound. But the reason why it's not sound is because we don't have enough self-worth or self-value or self-mastery. But the reason that we don't have that self-worth and that self-value and that self-mastery is because we haven't fallen in love with our position. See, those seven P's, we got to start with the principles. We got to start with the, you know, we can start with the position. Then we can start with the principles. We call it purpose. See, purpose establishes these principles. These principles lead to this process. This process develops a procedure. This procedure will give you your product. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It is universally impossible if you do these seven steps. I've been doing it for 50-plus years. Universally impossible. So for the next year, I'm working personally with 25 people. I won't have time to be doing anything else with or for anyone else. I'm only working with 25 people, and I'm taking these 25 people to the next level. Guaranteed. Okay, I've done it over and over and over again. But see, it requires me. The reason that I hesitated on doing it because of the work that it requires. Because, see, it requires you to do things you've never done. See, making tough decisions, meaning that you're selling out, meaning that you are removing your plan B, meaning that you are on a higher wire with no safety net. And see, you wade up in the sky and you look down and you know there's no safety net, you got to be careful. Because remember, who was it? Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and then he looked down, saw what he was doing. And what happened? He immediately sunk. So you can get out there, brother. You can get out there, sister. You can be doing great. You can have self-mastery. You're going to be vibrating on a high level. You can have wealth, health, wisdom, and great relationships. But if you look down, you go down. You see, brothers and sisters, it's so important because the enemy doesn't want you to know what I'm going to be sharing with the 25 people in 2017. Again, the program starts on January the 31st. Have payment plans available. Money is never an option. We've done three shows already on how to raise $5,000 in the next 30 days. Three different ways that I've expressed to you. But that limiting belief that is inside, that's lying dormant, that only comes up whenever you decide to leave it. Notice how you feel whenever you make a diligent decision. See, whenever you make a concrete decision to kill, to maim, to mutilate, to destroy, and all this is inside of my book, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich and Diligence, nothing happens until the mind is made up. Then that's when you expose your limiting beliefs. Because the moment you say, I am, and then you put that statement in, all of them serpents and scorpions pop up. But see, you've got power over them, brother. You have power over them, but you got to understand where that power comes from. See, my brother, so once we understand who is the enemy, Let's go and find out the enemy. Romans 8, verse 7 says, the carnal mind, which is not subject to God's law, neither can be. See, the enemy is not out there somewhere else, brothers and sisters. The enemy is inside your own head. He's that limiting belief. He's that neurological network. He's that cellular or that soul-level trauma that happens somewhere. I'm going to find it. And when we find it, we're going to remove it. That soul-level trauma that's buried deep down in the memories of your cell. Do you know that your limiting belief could come from your ancestors? Do you know that the same way water has memory? Do you know that water picks up the molecular structure of water is changed with every experience? The molecular structure of your cells and your souls was changed with every experience. And the experience of your ancestors, the sins of the fathers, is passed down to the sons, to the third generation. And if we don't understand and go in and remove and address that issue, my brothers and sisters, when you enter into yourself, you are entering into the kingdom of God. And when you enter into yourself, many people are going to be frightened away because they see this wonderful secret, this wonderful power. What is this power? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When you enter into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within, and when you tap into that source, when you tap into whose you are and you finally see who you are, then you start to speak with authority. And you realize that greater is he than he that is in me. And then fear doesn't have no power over you anymore. When you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you fear no evil because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, my brothers and sisters. When you get to that point, my brothers and sisters, Luke chapter 11, verse 52, it says, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the carnal mind that dwells inside of your head. He's talking to that old man. He's talking to that limited belief. He's talking to that individual that don't want you to be you. And when you tap into you, when you go inside of you, you are set free. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But Romans 8 tells me that my carnal mind is enmity. It does not apply. It doesn't listen to the law of the universe. It doesn't listen to the fact that I have self-worth, that I have self-value. You see, now my body is different. I don't know about you. I mean, you can tell by my speech. Notice how it's changed within the last month. Because the confidence, but where and how did it take place, brothers and sisters? Because something allowed me to identify with whose I am and who I am. And so that reservation, that reserve action. See, I was reserving. I was waiting to take action. But why was I waiting to take action? Why haven't I been charging the prices that I deserve? Why haven't I been speaking with authority? Why have I elevated? Why didn't I do this before, brothers? Why didn't I do this before? Because I knew that it was going to require me to make an energy shift. And the deliberate comfort that comes with playing small. See, there's a lot of benefits. See, sin is pleasurable for a moment. There's a lot of benefits with playing small. I'm not saying that there's a lot of benefits with having concerns. There's a lot of benefits with self-analyzation. There's a lot of benefits that comes with the paralysis of analysis. There's a lot of benefits that comes with pondering. There's a lot of benefits, huge benefits, where you can say, well, you know what, I'm gonna think about this, brother. I'm not going to make a decision. There's a lot of benefits with being indecisive because it doesn't require you to man up. It doesn't require you to take responsibility. It doesn't require you to exercise extreme faith. It doesn't require you to have radical faith. It doesn't require you to put all your eggs in one basket and cut and burn, to mutilate and to destroy, like it says in the scripture. When you make the decision, put your hand to the plow, but you're not supposed to look back. See, it requires you to be all in. So temple building requires radical faith. But the beauty of it is, guess what? God has given you radical faith. See, radical faith is not something that you go get, brothers. Radical faith is not something. I didn't do anything to get my radical faith. What did I do? How did I get to this point? How did I get to this level? See, God has given every man the measure. So let me ask you the question, brothers and sisters, as we close today. What is your measure of faith? So everybody has the measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 3. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 25 people will have their minds transformed because we're going to do a neurological energy and entity discovery. It's called transformation. It's called metamorphosis. Because it says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Then you will be able. Notice nothing happens until after you renew your mind. See, that's what happened to me, brothers and sisters. I renewed my mind. Then you will be able to discern. See, you can't see those limiting beliefs because you ain't renewed your mind yet. See, when you renew your mind, you will be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. When you find your perfect purpose, When you attach with that, see, now I know I'm a temple builder. I know I build temples through didactic teaching. And I know I can do didactic teaching through creative compassion. See, once you find the good, it has to be good. It got to be pleasing. It got to be perfect. See, what you're doing right now, it may not be good. You're doing it because of the money, so you're not pleased with it. And it's not perfect will of God. See, without those three characteristics in your purpose, it's not. You haven't found your niche. You haven't found your niche yet. It's what you're doing good, brother. Is it good? Is it pleasing to you? And is it the perfect will of God, meaning that it aligns with universal spiritual law? Why does that have to be good? Why does that have to be perfect and pleasing? Verse 3, Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but think of yourselves with sober judgment according. How should you think, brother? How should you think, sister? Now, yesterday, sir, I said, it's not what you think. I said how you think. This is what changed my life. Romans 12:3. This is why I've changed my energy. This is why I separated myself. This is why I'm going spirit word, and everybody that's not going spirit word, they can't tune in. This is why negative words, negative people, negative thoughts, fear, threats, whatever, my own, and I remember it's in my own head. It's not other people. They got nothing to do with nobody else. It's my own head. Remember we read, who is our enemy? Our carnal mind. But you see, my brothers and sisters, Romans 12:3 says something that's profound. It says, first of all, it was by grace. That means unmerited favor. It means God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. What did I do? Nothing. It was God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. He gave me it. He gave it the same you. So that way I can do what? So I don't think of myself. See, we think low self-esteem and no self-esteem. Do you know that that's arrogance? It's cocky. It's ego. So when you actually are low, that means that you're high. You're carrying yourself in a way that violates universal spiritual law. He said, don't do that. He said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but think of yourself with, one, sober judgment. Two, according to the measure of faith God has given you. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, not all members have the same function. So I can't do your job, brother. You can't do my job. So I need to make sure that my body, my temple, I'm building my temple, and I'm building 25 temples for 25 people. How am I going to do it? I'm not going to do anything. The only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go in, we're going to identify the cellular level trauma, the soul level trauma that is limiting you, and we're going to conform you. Because he said, don't be conformed to this world. So you conform to this world. So we're going to take you out of this world. We're going to transform and renew your mind so that way you're able to discern what is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect. You're going to fall in love with it. And then when you do that, that grace is going to be given to you. And when you get this grace, now you ain't gonna have to ponder. You don't have to reserve any action. You don't have to ponder anything. You ain't got to analyze anything. Now you can go balls to the wall. Now you can go all out. You can be all in. You don't have to reserve anything. You don't need no safety net. Because now you know that you've been given something. So now you don't think of yourself more highly than you are. You think of yourself with soberness. You think and you understand because you have a measure of faith that God gave you. So what I do, brothers and sisters, what I have, God gave me. I'm not in competition with anybody else. Nobody can be me but me. So therefore, I can be and do what God has called and gifted me to be and do. Because God has given it to me. And it's just the way he did it for me so that my body, my temple can function with all of the other members. I don't have any competition. Neither do you. So now you can charge what you need to charge in order for you to live the way God has designed and destined for you to live. Now you can eat and breathe and drink so that way you can have the health that God has designed for you to have. Now that you can study and you can read and you be directed, now notice you are going to be able to discern. So now I have discernment. So I go in and I read something and say, oh, man, that doesn't sound right. So this guy said that this or that. So now when I read and study different material, it doesn't sound because I have discernment. But everything starts when I did Romans 12:2. I stopped conforming to the pattern of the world. The pattern you got is a negative habit pattern. In 2017, we're getting rid of that negative habit pattern, and we're replacing it with a life-sustaining pattern. It's going to override the limiting, ruling disposition. Whatever the viceroy is that has established himself, whatever the strong man or the straw man, we're going to get rid of him, and we're going to replace him with the living God, because we have a living God. And this living God is going to give you and establish in you something that's good, something that is pleasing, and something that is perfect. Because that is the measure that he's given unto you. And he's given it to each and every one of us. And it's my job to assist you with finding it and manifesting it and living and vibrating at your highest Christ consciousness, quantum consciousness level. My brothers, my sisters, email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Let me know that you're one of the 25 as we move forward in 2017. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue. Bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.